You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light and Made to Chill. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder, 710 ESPN Seattle is all in on NFL free agency with John Clayton on every show, every day at 7:15, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. And spend your lunch hour with our special free agency roundtable each day from noon to 1. Follow along with our Seahawks free agency tracker at 710sports.com. All right, joining us now on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline, our buddy from NBC Sports Northwest, Joe Fan, is here with us. Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, fellas, just churning and burning. It's been a crazy afternoon for the Seahawks.
Where are you at with this? Because they've done very little in the way of a big splash. I mean, you bring Bruce Irvin back, which is great. Eight and a half sacks last year, career high for him in 13 games. So that's promising. We haven't seen anything with Clowney. We've got some O-linemen that none of us have really heard of. So it's hard to get fans really excited about what they've done. Where are you at with it?
I think they've done a good job filling holes with limited cap space. And so you look at now, they've got a right tackle that's about half the cost of what Jermaine Effetti's 50-year option would have been if they would have picked it up. So you've got your starting right tackle taken care of. You've got added depth in the interior that really, you know, allows you to cut Justin Britt should you want to save that $8.5 million. So you've got guys in the mix at left guard and center who you say, all right, we've got enough NFL experience here. We'll let them compete. And, you know, eventually, hopefully we, you know, if some guy emerged that we feel comfortable with, you know, I think that makes sense. I don't think they could go spend big on the defensive line and the offensive line, given the limited resources, comparatively speaking, to the other teams around the league. So I think, you know, it's another year of not investing much in the offensive line, at least from a free agency standpoint, which, you know, probably doesn't make Russell Wilson super happy, but they still have, you know, the cap space and flexibility to go get Jadeveon Clowney or Everson Griffin, or if they want to try to trade for a Matt Judon or Yannick Ngakoue out of Jacksonville. You know, I think the Bruce Irvin signing is great. I think he's, you know, a nice rotational piece that you can put opposite, you know, a big name guy, but I still think they are that big name pass rusher away from having a week you can feel really good about.
What, do you feel like those are realistic possibilities, Judon or Ngakoue? Because we've talked a lot about those. Dave and I were really big on Dante Fowler. He's obviously gone. He's off the board now. So is that something you could see them doing in place of Clowney in addition to, or do you think both of those deals are sort of pipe dreams at this point?
I think to do both sounds like a pipe dream. That would be spectacular if they somehow were able to pull it off and work it out cap-wise. But to me, it's not a great look unless you're just so head over heels in love with either Ngakoue or Judon to where, you know, you're saying we wanted this guy so much over anyone else who was on the free agent market, Clowney included, Fowler included, Robert Quinn included. I mean, a lot of guys who were out there. You know, because not only do you have to pay the player, but you're also having to give up valuable draft capital. So to me, you know, now that all these guys have kind of been taken off the board, there's kind of pressure to get a, you know, a deal done with either Everson Griffin or Clowney. If you don't get either of them and then have to go trade for your pass rusher, it's like, okay, well, you got a guy you needed, but why didn't you just pony up, pay the same dollar figure to, you know, one of four or five different guys that was available in the open market without having to give up the draft pick? So I think the focus should be Everson Griffin and Jadeveon Clowney first and foremost. And then if you're able to swing a trade in addition to that, then, yeah, I mean, shoot for the stars, and that's the pipe dream that you'd love to see.
All right, Joe, with the O-linemen that they've signed so far and some of the moves as far as what's the tagging the guys as far as Joey Hunt? What's the word I'm looking for?
Tender.
Tender. Thank you, Jim. Tendered all the offensive line activity. Is this it for Britt? What do you think they do with Justin Britt?
I think if you're looking at making one of these big deals with Clowney, and if you have to do, if you're trying to do two and, again, accomplish the pipe dream, then, yeah, I mean, he's got to go. But I do think when they signed B.J. Finney, that to me just kind of felt like the writing was on the wall for a Justin Britt move, because I don't think you tender Joey Hunt and bring in B.J. Finney if you're not looking at making that move.
Right.
You know, the nice thing is they don't have to make the move right now. You know, you have the opportunity to negotiate and see what the deals end up being for a Clowney, for a Griffin, whatever the case may be there. But I do think eventually they're going to have to let go of Justin Britt. I think his cap number is just too high, and the opportunity to save $8.5 million, I think, will be one the Seahawks need to do. Again, especially when you just sign a guy in BJ Finney, who's got starting experience at center. You got Joey Hunt, who you feel pretty good about what he did last year in place of Justin Britt. Ethan Postich will be in the mix if he can, you know, ever find a way to get healthy. So you have guys there that I think make you feel comfortable enough to part ways with them.
I know you're doing a great job with your reporting, Joe, but like, what's your gut instinct tell you with Clowney? You think he's going to sign elsewhere, or you think he's going to sign here?
You know what? I was all the way out on the Seahawks being able to sign Clowney. Not being able to, but just pulling the trigger and doing it. Because I think myself, and it sounds like a lot of other people, and even Clowney's camp and Clowney himself, overestimated what his market would be. You know, I was certain that he was going to be, you know, north of $20 million. And you see DeForest Buckner get $21 million per year, and you're thinking, man, you know, Clowney's going to get more than that. And all of a sudden, you see these reports, you know, most recently from Diana Rossini of ESPN saying, you know, he's looking for around 20, and teams aren't willing to go that high or that much above what the franchise tag is. So now that it seems like the market isn't what we believed it to be or believed it would be for Clowney, I think not only is it possible, but I would lean towards likely. And if you made me bet on whether it happens or not, I do think it ends up being that he returns to the Seahawks, because I do think that the money's going to be, for all intents and purposes, pretty equal for all the, you know, different teams who are interested.
Well, what do you think happened there with his market? Has it been an injury history, maybe that core injury, some inconsistency, the three sacks? Is it a combination of all those things?
Probably a combination. I think, you know, one, the medical is always going to be big with Jadeveon Clowney. And I don't know, I mean, this is speculation on my part, but it makes sense that, you know, the coronavirus, you know, pandemic has really impacted his process. You know, at least has made it, you know, last longer and prolonged the process, because teams aren't able to fly him in and give him a medical. And there's the workaround of sending him to a hospital in the, you know, city. I think he's in Houston right now. And, you know, you get those results from them. But if you're, you know, looking to pony up $20 million per year, you want your own guys looking at him and seeing how he came out of surgery and when, how he's looking, you know, based on his injury track record. And so, you know, where the workaround might work for a low to mid-tier player, I don't think it works for an elite top-tier guy who's looking for that kind of money. So, you know, that might be a huge part of the reason why teams have been so hesitant, at least to this point, to get to the number that he wants.
Joe Fan of NBC Sports Northwest is our guest here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. So who's out there that at any position, Joe, that you are looking at saying, man, I hope the Seahawks show some interest in this guy, or I'd love to see this. Realistically, you see them in a Seahawks uniform. We just saw Desmond Trufant was a guy that people were talking about. Whether they had any interest or not, I don't know, but he signed with the Lions, so he's off the market now. Anybody out there that you've got your eye on that's still there?
Honestly, I think we've had this conversation a couple of times. I mean, the need in the trenches is just so much greater than anything else on the roster that, I mean, your first, second, third, fourth, and fifth concern is finding a way to get a top edge rusher. Everything else, you'll be able to find a budget veteran running back. I saw Isaiah Crowell's name thrown out yesterday. You'll be able to find a wide receiver you can throw into the mix. You'll be able to find a corner that can compete, you know, on a budget with Trey Flowers. But you look at how up against the cap they are already, you're not going to bring in a Desmond Trufant who's going to want an absolute starting job, because at that point you're waving the white flag on Trey Flowers. And, you know, you've got to have guys that you're paying nothing when you're trying to give, you know, big money to other players. And there's already some big money on the table with the Seahawks roster, and you're trying to add a piece or two still of that pass rush spot. And so, you know, if I'm a Seahawks fan, I got everything else. You got the draft coming up. There will always be moves to be made. So I wouldn't spend too much time worrying about, you know, what else is out there until, you know, the dominoes drop with Everson Griffin, Jadeveon Clowney, and any potential trades for any of the guys that are tagged around the league.
Joe Fan, now that Bruce Irvin is in town, are you going to follow Danny's suit and maybe bring him some Whoppers or Big Macs? Do you know that Danny used to do that for Bruce Irvin?
I don't know the backstory on this one. Enlighten me.
Don't do it.
Yeah, so Danny would bring him, what do you call
it? McDonald's.
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 Is what Bruce Irvin would call him. Yeah, and Danny would get, for in exchange for information, he would give him Big Macs.
Wow, I'm going to have to work on that. I appreciate the tip.
Okay. Yeah, what do you think Bruce Irvin brings, though? I mean, I really like it. I get it that he's, you know, getting on in age. There was never a problem when, you know, he moved on. He is 32 years old, but
had his best year last year, though.
Yeah.
8.5 sacks.
I know. It just didn't look like he was slowing down. You know, I love that he can play linebacker. He's versatile. But is that enough if they have him? They just signed Reed. Young guy's improving, and they get Clowney with Bruce Irvin. Is that enough?
I think it can be enough because I think you are hoping for guys like Shaquem Griffin and Rasheem Green to take big steps forward. And, you know, when you have a guy like Bruce Irvin there, and then if you get Clowney back, one of those other guys we've been talking about for weeks and weeks, then all of a sudden the pressure is not there to where they have to do it, right? So you know, you can let Bruce Irvin, one, be, you know, the guy you're going to get, you know, 6 to 8 to, you know, potentially 10 sacks for you next year, but also being able to be a mentor. And I think familiarity is so big, and you see it around the league, but you've seen it especially in Seattle just over the course of the last year with Luke Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. And, you know, familiarity and relationships and knowing what you're going to get from a person, from a leader, from a player, you know, from a skill set, all, you know, from a work ethic, that's so big, especially when you're dishing out, you know, valuable free agent dollars. You want to know exactly what you're getting. And so, you know, I think that makes Bruce Irvin such a wonderful addition. You can see on social media, he's thrilled to be back home, as he called it, in Seattle. And when the sentiment's that good, you know, I think it makes it a no-brainer, and it makes it a very safe move, but also one that should be, you know, very productive as well.
What about Michael Kendricks? That seems like a lot of uncertainty with him coming off the ACL injury. He's an unrestricted free agent, and he's got yet another court hearing that'll probably be suspended later this month. You've got that hanging over him, but such an effective player. How do you evaluate whether he comes back or not?
Yeah, I don't think it's a priority right now. I think there's a possibility, just, again, you give him the familiarity. And Pete Carroll has raved about Michael Kendricks at every possible juncture. You know, he's raved more about, you know, him than, you know, pretty much anybody except for Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, and DK Metcalf. So, you know, I think it also comes down to, you know, if KJ Wright ends up being, you know, one of the cap casualties where, you know, he's got a big cap number coming up. And I don't expect that to happen, but should it happen, and Cody Barton's, you know, going into that role, you might need Michael Kendricks back. And so, you know, I think he's a guy who, you know, he'll be out there. I don't think he's a priority guy for many teams around the league, especially, like you said, you know, with one, the injury, and two, the legal stuff that are still, you know, ahead of him. So possible, but I wouldn't bet on it at this point.
What do you think the chances are for Josh Gordon? Seemed to be very popular in that locker room. The coaches liked him. Obviously, he's... You've never heard anything divisive about him. He gets in his own way. You've never heard anything about him being a bad teammate and causing a rift. That it's just him, once again, getting in his own way, and we don't know what his suspension is going to be, but do you feel like, all right, if he's available after 2, 3 games, 4 games, he's a guy they look to bring back?
I think absolutely, and I think, you know, you saw him, you know, mentioning on social media how he'd like to be back in a Seahawks uniform. Quandre Diggs replied to him saying, bro, you're a Seahawk, don't worry about it. I think that the big thing that, you know, the marijuana rule has been changed, but he also tested positive for PEDs. So we don't know what the definitive suspension would be. It sounds like it's all up to Roger Goodell to where he would have to make the decision to reinstate him and then, you know, apply a specific suspension to him. Because right now, you know, it's just suspended indefinitely, but, you know, we don't know what that means. Would they make him sit out the full year? But like you said, if it is just a 4-game stint to start the year, then yeah, I think Seattle would absolutely be interested because I think he made a great impression during his time with the Seahawks late in 2019.
Hey, did you get a chance to see Yannick Ngakoue's post on his Instagram feed where he posted a picture from an airport of a chair and everybody said, oh, that's SeaTac. What, now, how they know that, I've got no idea. But have you seen the picture, and what do you make of it?
It's weird because, one, if it is him, you know, it's like, okay, well, when was that taken? Was that taken recently, or, you know, is that something where he was in town a couple of weeks ago? But, you know, right now there's a very strict order from the NFL that in-person visits and physicals and all that are absolutely not allowed, you know, not only for the player visiting your facility, but for you to travel to the player as well. And so, you know, if indeed the Seahawks were flying him out, that would be a huge no-no in the eyes of the NFL. Beyond that, he's currently, you know, under contract for all intents and purposes, or at least under the team control of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's not, you know, on the open market free and easy to talk to. He would need permission. They would need permission from the Jags in order to speak with him and potentially negotiate a long-term deal should a trade be in the works. So all of that you know, a lot of questions there, but obviously it sent, you know, Seahawks Twitter into a tizzy today, and I get it, right? I mean, with all the pass rush names flying off the board and a few options remaining, I think, you know, there's a little bit of a desperation from Seahawks fans thinking, my goodness, are we going to be left with nothing outside of Bruce Irvin, which is understandable. And, of course, you know, these players these days, and they love throwing the cryptic tweets and, you know, Instagram posts and all that. So I think this is just another case of that, and I'm not sure I would read too much into it beyond that.
It's weird to me that we haven't heard anything about Clowney and negotiations elsewhere. I guess maybe with the Giants early on, but there haven't really been too many rumblings on social media about other teams that he's looking at.
Yeah, I agree. The Titans to me seem like a team that would make sense, especially given that they just traded Jarrell Casey away for a seventh round pick to the Denver Broncos in order to, you know, create some cap space. I think, you know, that seems like a team that would be a fit. Although they do have some other edge rushers on that roster, you know, but I agree with you. It has been quiet in terms of, okay, you know, who else is it that's out there that's looking for, you know, his services? And with the Colts being one of those teams, they just ponied up and paid DeForest Buckner, you know, massive money in addition to giving up a first round pick. And, you know, so I agree with you. Things have been really quiet. And again, I'm not sure if that's just would have happened regardless or how much of that is due to the travel restrictions due to coronavirus.
Hey, I saw a tweet earlier. I can't remember if it was from Rappaport or Pelissero, one of the guys out there. Anyway, talking about the Seahawks giving permission to Tedrick Thompson to go out and seek a trade and predicting they get a low-round draft pick in exchange for him. Now, we talked about it earlier. I'd be stunned if they got a pick for him. I don't care where he was drafted. I don't care that he started before. I think his resume speaks for itself. What do you think they get in return for him?
I mean, a conditional late-round pick, if anything, right? And I don't think you're getting anything more than that, especially when you look at guys who, granted, I know a guy like Jarrell Casey is older and has a way bigger cap number, but Jarrell Casey is fetching only a seventh-round pick. I have a hard time believing that Tedrick Thompson is going to be fetching much more for you, especially when they know, you know, he's going to be available for free here pretty soon because the Seahawks are going to have to cut him at some point, right? It doesn't fit into their long-term plan. So it does seem like, you know, the Tedrick Thompson era is over in Seattle, and, you know, they're going to try to get something for him if they can, but I wouldn't expect to get anything of note, you know, in turn for his services.
Last thing I have for you, Joe, going back to the offensive line, when you project with Brandon Schell, the new right tackle, instead of Jermaine Ifedi, and then B.J. Finney, whether he starts at left guard or center, do you think next year's offensive line potentially will be better, worse, or about the same as the 2019 line?
I'd say probably about the same. You know, it depends what, you know, Cedric Agbuyi, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but if he's your new George Fant, your swing tackle, your extra tight end, your sixth offensive lineman in those packages that George Fant used, and obviously they were utilized with him so often, you know, how effective is he in that role? You know, is Brandon Schell, is he Jermaine Ifedi, a Jace completely, or is he a little bit better, you know, than what Jermaine Ifedi gave you over the last couple of years? Dwayne Brown, you hope he's healthy, and that alone will give you some more consistency if, you know, if he can avoid getting banged up. But again, that's a big question mark given his age and the wear, you know, the tread on those tires. And so I would expect something that ends up being, you know, about the same. You know, again, that's just, you know, when you don't invest heavily, it's hard to expect anything that's much greater than what it was. So, you know, I think Seahawks should temper their expectations and say, all right, if status quo is what we're working with, you know, you hope the pass rush is that much better and the defense is that much better to where, you know, overall the team has a bigger chance or a better chance to compete and contend in 2020.
Hey, are you, Joe, concerned at all about the running back position based on just the injury? We don't know how long it'll take for Penny to get back. He was starting to, you know, ramp it up a bit, but I don't know what a fair expectation is for him coming off that injury. Chris Carson's been injured to some extent each year of his career. Hopefully this is no big deal and he's durable, but, you know, CJ Procise is not going to be there. He's always injured. And then you got Travis Homer. So if when you break it down one by one, you don't feel great about that position group. Where are you at with the running backs?
I'm kind of the belief, you know, with some others, and I understand the concerns, but I think it's the most replaceable position in football. And, you know, I think they're a little bit of a dime a dozen, so to speak. And that doesn't mean there's no concern, but again, I think you can find a guy like Isaiah Crowell to where if Chris Carson gets injured in week one, you can throw him in there and know exactly what you're going to get. You know, you hope Rashad Penny won't miss more than, you know, maybe the first quarter of the season, then he'll be back and hopefully looking like he did at the end of last year, where it seemed like he figured it out and really turned the corner into being a productive NFL running back. Now, Chris Carson should have no problem being good to go and ready for week one. You know, the fact that he didn't have to have surgery was huge. And you probably draft a guy and maybe, you know, bring one additional guy in as an undrafted free agent. So there will always be options out there at that position. So again, given the holes elsewhere, I don't think I would spend a ton of time, you know, and lose a bunch of sleep over what's happening at the running back position.
Joe,
I was going to say, Joe, stay safe. Oh. And yeah, I saw a bumper sticker. I told the story yesterday. It said, "Conserve toilet paper. Use the other side." So that's
so gross.
It is gross. Anyway, it's good hearing from you. Are you hunkered down there? What's your daily look like?
I'm hunkered down. I haven't left my spot in Ballard in like 3 days. So it's getting a little stir crazy, but free agency has kept things busy. So and all things considered, I can't complain. Obviously, weird times for our city, but we'll all get through it. It'll just take some time.
All right. Good stuff, Joe. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Hey, thanks so much, as always. I appreciate you guys.
There he is, Joe Fan from NBC Sports Northwest. Does a great job covering the Seahawks, and he's hunkered down there in Ballard, just hanging out.
Yeah, he does do a really good job, and he covered the 49ers for a couple
sort
years.
Of.
I think he's from Bothell High School. And
sort of good
yeah,
job.
So he's back home and doing good work. What was that, Dave?
He said sort of good job. Dave's having fun on the text right now.
Oh, man, I noticed
that. I'm just watching Dave go to work on the text right now.
Yeah, I was a little distracted during the
giddy.
Joe Fan conversation.
It's just funny.
The grin gets bigger with each response. I just look over at Dave, and he's typing and grinning. And just
I was listening attentively to Joe Fan.
By the way, Jim, would you really, in your day, have driven to SeaTac Airport to match that photo to the carpet?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, back when I was writing, like, these go-to guy columns that I had in the PI, I was always looking for something offbeat, and that would have been right up my alley. I would have thought, well, okay, let me go check out the airport. I would have been looking at the rug.
You've been looking at the picture, at the rug. Which seat was this?
We got a text from a pilot here. Seattle-based airline pilot here. After being to airports all over the country, I don't know what that is. Airport has very distinctive decor. Carpets, chairs, artwork, etc.
Maybe he meant to say each. He could be speak to text. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. So he says he's pretty sure Portland Airport Carpet has its own Twitter and Instagram accounts. We can check that out. And then he says, stay clean and stay safe. So
yeah. Well,
we appreciate
as Joe pointed out, he's technically under contract. He's with the Jags. That'd be tampering. Right, he couldn't come here for a visit with the Seattle Seahawks. He's not a free agent.
Right, and nobody's traveling anywhere for.
And that's the other part.
Physicals anyway. So yeah, I don't get.
So outside of that, it seems logical. Seems pretty reasonable. That
I don't care. I think Curtis Rogers is credible, and he retweeted it. And I'm going with a kid from Kent on that one.
You know what? C. Rog is doing us a solid, right?
Yeah,
because it's made for talkie talk.
Exactly.
We got good talkie talk out of it. All right. And you guys can continue to text in 710-710 is our text number. I was really enjoying that back and forth.
You were.
It's usually you doing that, Bob.
It usually is. And what I liked is the person going, who is this?
God, you guys. I'm always the thanks for listening guy.
I know. You're always nice. So they have to figure out, is it me or if it's Dave?
I didn't say any tough guy stuff or anything. When he asked who it was, I'm like, I didn't say anything.
Oh, so good. So good. 710-710 is the text number if you guys want to text in whatever's going on. Meanwhile, if the Seahawks are going to make a big move outside of bringing Clowney back, might have to be a trade. So who would you want them to trade for? We'll get into that conversation next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. What are you laughing at?
The headband and wristbands are back.
Yeah, Dave's committed to it.
It was warm. It got warm.
He wants to keep the sweat from running down his forehead, so he's got the headband on.
So I bought this. I don't know where. I went online somewhere, and I bought this because Bob, and I got the wristbands here, too. And I bought Bob a Pablo Cruz shirt, and I tried to get myself a Yoda shirt, but I couldn't find one. So I got a Mountain Dew shirt, which is what Brendan and...
Dale.
Dale, we're dressed in. You were
Dale Dobek.
You were going to be Brennan.
Yeah.
And I was going to be Dale.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were going to do a whole thing and film this whole little, well, according to me anyway, we were going to film this little.
No, we were all on board.
I was going to have Shannon do it. Maura was going to be the adult. Bob and I were going to have to share a room, and she was going to break us the news so that we had to share a room. And then Bob and I were going to try to make bunk beds because there's more room for activities.
Activities. I was going to ask if you like
so many activities.
At spring training.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Shannon's house.
Yeah, it was going to be fun. And somebody, you said that earlier, and somebody said, oh, Maura was going to be the adult like she is already at 7:10?
Pretty much, yes.
Her role doesn't change at all for the video.
Why are you glaring at me, Jim?
No, I was just looking because he mentioned Maura, and I was just looking at you.
I felt like you were disagreeing with that statement.
I wasn't glaring. No, I wasn't disagreeing at all. You're the youngest one of us all, and you're the most adult one here.
Well, thank you, Jim.
So it's all for naught. So Dave's wearing the wristbands and the headband in honor of.
I've got my storyboard. I storyboarded it.
He was showing me the storyboard.
That was my communications degree coming in there.
It was good.
Because we had to do that. I took a film class, and you know, you had to have these shots, and they had these certain parameters that you had to have in there, and then you had to have a storyboard. And so I had little stick men sitting around a table.
Had little dialogue bubbles.
Dialogue, yeah, whole thing. And it all got ruined because we didn't get to go to Arizona.
I want you to drive home with that on. Just sitting, car driving next to you, going, what the heck is that guy wearing?
Okay.
Then you walk in to see what Shannon says when you walk in the front door. Just wearing the...
She's used to goofy things. So.
Sure, that wouldn't even faze her. She'd
no,
be like,
really.
Oh, that's a cute headband. Yeah. All right, dinner's ready. All right. Meanwhile, we asked the question, if the Seahawks are going to make a big move outside of bringing back Jadeveon Clowney, looks like it's going to have to be a trade, whether we're talking about Unique Ngakoue or Judon or anybody else. Is there, outside of those two, is there anybody you'd like to see them trade for? Is there another name that we have not given enough attention to? I mean, Ngakoue, we've gone over him, and we're you know, speculating as to whether he's at the SeaTac airport based on the carpet and all of that. And Judon's a close second in that conversation. But I feel like there might be some other players we haven't really tapped into that could be trade possibilities. I just don't feel like it's likely. But when I say that, I go back to some of the signings they've come up with, whether it's Percy Harvin, whether it was Jimmy Graham. Any of those, you just go, whoa, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, you just didn't see these moves coming.
Yeah, well, and, you know, look, was Graham, I'm trying to remember, was that just out of the blue?
Because I don't recall talking about that at all.
I just remember going into that offseason, red zone was all the time.
It was brutal.
Yep. I mean, offensive red zone, their numbers were terrible, and I remember the year before that they were scoring still, but it was a lot of the thing that sort of skewed the numbers was that they had some longer touchdowns, so they never really were in. They were still scoring, but scoring from further out. But anyway, that didn't really work out with Jimmy Graham, and they didn't really use him the right way, and then it became – but usually, you know, it's somebody who is disgruntled somewhere else. That's usually what leads to a trade, at least it has been for the Seahawks, because if you remember with New Orleans, Jimmy Graham was in a big squabble with the Saints because he was trying to be a wide receiver and get paid thusly, and they did not want him. And them, you know, campaigning hard to not pay him that much money – caused a rift in the relationship. So then you kind of dislodge him a little bit, you know? And same thing, of course, with Clowney. So, yeah, those kinds of things.
So that's, you know, Ngakoue right
Dwayne,
now.
Dwayne Brown. So, yeah, Ngakoue. I don't see any problem with Matthew Judon. I mean, he seems to be happy there in Baltimore. And, you know, he kind of came out of nowhere, and he's on this great team. I don't think – plus, he's a 3-4 type of guy. He's almost like more of a linebacker, but – yeah, I mean, to me, it's Clowney or Ngakoue, and I don't think it would be terribly surprising if either one of those worked out. And, you know, and if you had a trade and you trade for Ngakoue, you got him opposite of Bruce Irvin, is that enough? Or does everything involve Clowney?
I'd like to see Clowney back here. I know Jim is not in favor of that, but if you could somehow work out a trade where you do get Ngakoue and it doesn't impact your ability to bring Clowney back, which – these guys are masters at manipulating the salary cap. As much as we can sit there and look at a number and go, well, they've only got $30 million left or $14 million or whatever their number is.
Yeah, you'd be talking $40 million, though, with those two.
Yeah, but they're masters at that, and maybe it does involve Justin Britt being cut. Maybe it does involve restructuring KJ's contract or somebody else's contract we haven't talked about. They just have all these teams have a capologist. They just have the ability, and I don't understand it. Never makes a ton of sense, even when people explain it. I think it could happen.
Well, the only thing I'm seeing that we haven't mentioned, and it's probably just a remote possibility, is Bud Dupree, who was franchise by the Steelers. And but again, I don't think there's any discord there between Dupree and the Steelers that would lead to anything like that. But when you look at the top free agents, we've talked about it all day. All these guys are either franchised or they're off the board, the A-lister types. So now you're down to Bruce Irvin. I mean, maybe they can look at Michael Bennett now that they brought Irvin back. I mean, that'd be another low-cost option. But, yeah, right now, I think you're right, Dave. I think it's Ngakoue or Clowney.
Boy,
that's about it.
I'll say this, man. They sure played that one right. The Seahawks, they didn't jump all Clowney. Over Clowney and, jack the price up. They had obviously a better feeling, and everybody does, and who's in the NFL has a better feel for it than we do because they all talk, right?
But do you think they've made an offer? Because by all accounts, there's been ongoing dialogue. So, I mean, do you think they've made an offer, or do you think they've just kind of – the converse, I'd be curious what
I think Garoppolo was reporting today that they've made an offer, and it's one tier lower than what Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald got. I don't know what one tier means.
What's Jimmy Garoppolo got to do with anything?
Or Garoppolo?
Garofalo.
Mike.
Oh, Mike Garofalo.
Well, whatever the hell.
Gotcha.
Jesus.
Chill, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anyway, they played it right. I mean, they could have, gotten all hyped up and, they had their price on it. I feel like they're very disciplined about that they're not going to go over a certain amount.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's like, you see people go to an auction and, like, my max is $10,000. Remember the JFK golf clubs?
Yeah, she went crazy. Elaine went nuts.
She got competitive, and she's tried to outbid the Hershey bar girl or whoever that was.
Was it the O. Henry bar?
O. Henry bar, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you had the angry mechanic just chucking them out at the mail truck that was following him.
But, yeah, she got caught up in the moment. And the Seahawks have been very disciplined that way. So if they're able to get him for what some people are talking about, like 17, 18
I'd be
million.
Stunned. You'd be okay with that, wouldn't you, Jim?
Oh, I'd be.
At 17 million, sure.
I'd be over the moon.
Oh, now, at 18, if we said 18, 18 three weeks ago, you would have gone, heck yeah.
I'd still favor Ngakoue over Clowney, though.
Okay. Well, we'll see what they do. They might surprise everybody. Meanwhile, Adam Silver, who runs the show for the NBA, had some interesting comments on what this league may try to do moving forward and responding to some criticism as well. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder that you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. It is free, and it's extremely handy these days. With everything going on, very few people in their cars and next to a radio where they'd normally tune into us. So this just gives you that convenience of doing it at home. You can do it on your smart speakers or whatever at home if you've got Alexa or Google or any of that stuff. So you still have access to us as long as we're on the air, which we'll try to maintain for as long as possible. Starting tomorrow, I think we're going to be broadcasting from our homes.
It's going to be so weird.
It's going to be really weird. I won't get to see you in your headband and your wristbands and all of that. These will be the last images we have of each other until we...
Yeah, I've got a temporary spot set up where there's a little miniature ping pong table for my desk. Yeah, that's what I'll be using tomorrow.
The ping pong table will be the desk?
Yeah.
Serve as your
desk? I might take down the net.
Okay. Or we're just going to hear that in the background. Jim will be hitting ping pong balls against the wall.
Like Forrest Gump?
Yeah. He'll be think. Jim, are you in or are you out right now? He's out. Okay. So, yes, if you don't have the app, download the app. It's got everything. You can get the video, the audio, the podcast. Everything's available. And, again, that app is free. We talked about Adam Silver. The NBA talking, Adam Silver, who's the commissioner of the NBA, was on the jump with Rachel Nichols trying to find solutions to have some small games, even if they are for charity, just to help bring a distraction of sports to the people out there.
I'd say I'm looking at three different things here. One is, of course, when can we restart and operate as we've known it, 19,000 fans in buildings, and sort of that's one set of criteria. Then option two is, how would we, should we consider restarting without fans? And what would that mean? Because presumably, if you had a group of players and staff around them, and you could test them and you could follow some protocol, doctors, health officials may say it's safe to play. So that's sort of second set of circumstances. And then a third option that we're looking at now, and I would say all suggestions welcome, is that, as I sort of beginning of this interview, I mentioned the impact to me on the national psyche of having no sports programming on television. And one of the things we've been talking about, are there conditions in which a group of players could compete, you know, and maybe it's for a giant fundraiser or just for the collective good of the people, that you take a subset of players, and is there a protocol in which they can be tested and quarantined and or isolated in some way, and then they can compete against each other?
You know what? That was encouraging to me, because earlier we had somebody come on with a more extreme view, Aaron Mason, talking about, you know, possibly this thing could drag out for 18 months. And I appreciate that they're thinking that way. And I talked earlier about, you know, them being nimble about it. Like, okay, just because it's canceled, if things do turn around, can we just throw something together? Just for
getting plans in place.
Yeah.
If it's this long, we can do this. If it stretches to this point, perhaps we can do this. Just the idea of, all right, at some point it will come to an end.
Right.
If it's a month, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is.
Yeah. And that all made sense. I mean, you know, if you can get players that, you know, you can test, and then we could start to see some return to normalcy, you know, and that I think sports is a huge part of it. And look, it's not everything. I mean, you realize, you know, we always say this about, you know, I worry about more about him as a man than a player, but, you know, the sports is important, and it's
a nice distraction.
Distraction, right now. Yeah. Just, you know, what we're kind of going through, which Bob and I were just looking out the window. Like, look at out there. It's beautiful outside.
Sunny. People are
jogging. Walking their dogs.
Peaceful, serene, beautiful.
Yeah, I saw Chris Egan from King TV. He tweeted out yesterday, I think it was, he's never seen so many people out walking and running, jogging, and enjoying the great outdoors.
One more from Adam Silver. Apparently he was criticized by Bill de Blasio in terms of NBA teams getting tests when the public's not able to, and here he is responding to that.
I of course, understand his point, and that it's unfortunate we're at this position as a society where it's triage when it comes to testing, and so the fundamental issue, obviously, is there are insufficient tests. I'd only say in the case of the NBA, we've been following the recommendations of public health officials. I mean, let me begin with the situation in Oklahoma City last Wednesday night. The Utah Jazz did not ask to be tested. The Oklahoma public health official there on the spot not only required that they be tested, but they weren't allowed to leave their locker room.
Mm.
Right.
You feel like they're getting preferential treatment? I mean, these are people that are drawing large crowds, and people are going to be in proximity to them on some level. And maybe the risk of spreading is more extreme in their case. I'm not sure how to view that. I hadn't really considered, these athletes are getting tests while others are not.
Yeah, but I guess I don't think that way. I feel like, okay, that's a good deal. I'll take that one. I mean, if there's, you know, if it's a life or death situation, of course, it doesn't matter whether you're a superstar or, you know, a regular person. But, yeah, I mean, I just, I don't know, there's a certain amount of your psyche right now that needs some nourishment, you know, and I was talking to my daughter about this today. She's incredibly disappointed because she performs, you know, and does the electronic music, and she was going to get a chance to play at the Gorge, and which is,
that's,
you know,
huge.
A huge dream, and that got canceled. But, you know, I'm like, how we come out of this, you know, you can either, you know, spiral down into, you know, depths, or you can like use this as an opportunity to, you know, to get, you know, in better shape, whatever. I feel like it could go one way or the other for me. I could either really start drinking heavily, or I could start, you know, working out. And I'm going to go with the working out part of it, you know, and try to get
you got the gear.
Try to stay
healthy.
Ready.
If this were a craps table, I'd be betting on the don't pass. On that one, Dave, I must.
What exactly does that mean, Jim? Because I don't know.
You bet against the
dice. You're betting against me?
And you really dislike the people that are doing that, even though that's probably the better way to go.
You're a hater.
But, yeah, I mean, you're going against all the people, you know, hoping that you're going to hit your point and all that stuff.
How about both?
Both? You can do both.
Yeah. You just have to be moderate in one area and a little bit more aggressive than the other. No, I mean, I just think, you know, it's try to use it as a positive opportunity to better yourself, because how we come out of this is going to matter. And when things ramp up back up again, you know, you need to be ready. So
get the ground running.
That's my coaching for everybody today. Don't drink heavily, work out, get in good shape, have a good positive mental attitude. Except for the one guy from the 253 or whatever his name was.
It's harder.
The guy you've been going back and forth.
He's a baby.
I appreciate the sentiment, but it's harder to take you seriously with the headband and wristbands.
Well, he's ready to work out.
Man, look at this.
He's going to walk right in the door and hit the weights.
You're lucky I don't have a pair of dolphin shorts on right now. Remember those, Jim? The dolphin shorts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are those?
Short shorts. They're like silky shorts that were like...
really short?
Basically onion huggers.
All right. Coming up next, one of my all-time favorite segments on this show. It is What We Learned, and it's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow. You sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
Our last day in studio together for the foreseeable future, anyway. That is, unless we have technical difficulties and we all have to come in tomorrow. But we'll be broadcasting from home, so this will be the last in-person What Did We Learn.
Yeah.
What's the over-under on the technology all going smoothly for everyone? And who's the dark horse candidate for being the worst at technology?
The dark horse candidate.
Yeah, I mean, because we know who the...
I can't figure out how to get on Microsoft Teams, because it just asked me for my Apple ID, and like, everybody has so many different IDs, and then you forget what the hell they are.
Yeah,
and it's then I just
so
say,
aggravating.
You want me to be honest with you? Like,
give us your password.
Well, no, there was something that I was trying to sign on to not too long ago, and then I forgot my password. And
porn
then
site.
So then I hit forgot password, then they sent me some sort of thing, you know. And so then I went, okay, I'll put, you know, an @ in there, a #, all these different things. Not strong enough. It kept coming back, not strong enough. I finally went, bleep you, with a bunch of, you know, different other things, and it was strong enough.
That was strong.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I love how they deem it not strong enough, but it's like, well, if I make it stronger, then I can't remember it. So,
and the ones they always suggest are ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
apparently, you're supposed to write it down, but who does that?
Who keeps track of passwords?
Anyway,
all right.
Sorry, I interrupted.
What did we learn today?
We learned about Dave's storyboard.
By the way, I should tell you, we've got like a record number of people on the video stream right now, checking you out in all of your glory.
Well, here, I'll show this to the video stream. I had like a whole storyboard written out, basically, of when Bob and I were going to be stepbrothers down in Arizona.
It made me so happy.
He was like Scorsese. He had this thing laid out. There was going to be a script.
He wanted me to come in and curse at you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's, hey, I'm Bob. And he says, hey, I'm Dave. But you have to call me Dragon. And then Bob says, you have to call me Nighthawk.
And Jim's going, I don't get any of this.
So
that's
sad.
The look Jim just gave.
Very true. I think I maybe have seen Step Brothers. Who are the main actors in it? Aykroyd?
John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell.
Dan Aykroyd. You're thinking of Blues Brothers, Jim. That was 1980.
Yeah.
Thinking of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I think Step Brothers is on Netflix right now. That's your homework.
Is it?
Yeah. It's definitely on Netflix.
Okay, I'm on it. Office Space and Step Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I can be like a cool kid?
Yeah.
Well, then you'll understand the references we make.
Okay. Don't forget.
Okay.
It's worth it.
We'll send you lists of movies you should check out since we may be homebound for a while.
All right.
Some of the dumb movies that I like, Shannon doesn't like, but she loves Step Brothers. Step Brothers is for everyone.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Because I was doing Step Brothers routine with the texter today.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, be such a baby. You're a baby.
You're a baby. Couldn't say what you really wanted to
so
say.
It's so immature.
Yeah.
You are.
It's funny. So.
You don't say that.
Yeah.
You like immature humor, don't you, Jim?
That was entertaining. Were you following that text exchange with Wyman and that guy in the 253?
Yeah.
I just like to see how mad I can get people.
It was working.
Apparently pretty mad.
It was working.
Wanted to fight me.
Who is this? Yeah. We'll say it to my face. Yeah, we'll bring your keyboard. All right. What else did we learn?
We learned that we have a Seahawks fan that's infiltrated enemy territory.
Ryan, can I ask you, did you just have a 415 area code, or are you actually in San Francisco? What are you
How no, is it? I live in San Francisco.
And you're listening to our show.
Yeah, I'm a Seahawks fan.
All right, good for you, man.
In enemy territory, we appreciate that.
You're telling me I work at a radio station that we cover the Niners, and so watching them lose the Super Bowl was fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure you were very popular in that building after that loss, right?
Oh, I wore Seahawks stuff all week.
Oh, you're the man, Ryan.
I like that.
I was really close to. And you listen to our show. He's like, yeah. I'm like, why?
I'm surprised you didn't.
Yeah, you don't try to discourage listeners, Dave.
I know, we are. Yeah. It's a good show. Got to listen. Give it a listen.
Give it a whirl. I think you'll enjoy it. You'll come back. What else did we learn?
We learned it's hard to take Dave serious in this sweatband get-up right now.
That's my coaching for everybody today. Don't drink heavily. Work out. Get in good shape. Have a good positive mental attitude. Except for the one guy from the 253 or whatever his name is.
It's harder.
The guy you've been going back and forth.
He's a baby.
I appreciate the sentiment, but it's harder to take you seriously with the headband and wristband.
Well, he's ready to work out.
Man, look at this.
He's going to walk right in the door and hit the weights.
You're lucky I don't have a pair of dolphin shorts on right now. Remember those, Jim? The dolphin shorts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are those?
Short shorts. They're like silky shorts that were like...
really short?
Basically... onion huggers.
Maura, don't you feel honored to be a part of these conversations?
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about, though. They gave us something like that for track one year when I was in high school.
Were they striped? They had like red and white ones. Then they had red ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were when you
weird,
look at it, it's
yeah.
ridiculous. My high school basketball picture, the shorts, it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
How there's no pant leg at all.
It was almost indecent.
Yeah.
I think they're coming back. Yeah.
They're making a comeback right now.
No.
That's ridiculous.
They are.
That's not
good.
Okay, but they're not. So.
I hope not. I don't think they're flattering for anyone.
No, nobody wins with those. It's no good. What else did we learn?
Well, it's a lot of Wyman today that he's already struggling with technology.
Sounds
changes.
Like a slow day. I want to tell you something funny that happened. I'll give myself up on this. I was down talking to Brenna Hutchison, who does an awesome job setting us all up. And she's like, at the end, you have to log out. Okay? You have to log out at the end. Then she said another time, you just told me three times. You need to tell Jim six times.
So no!
Hold on. I'm not done with the story yet.
Go ahead.
And she's like, yeah, I know. And then you know what I did? I closed the damn computer without logging out.
Log out.
Yeah. So I jinxed myself. But, yeah, you have to log out.
You got to log out, Jim.
I like how Jim and I sound like two old men there. I'm like, I'm not done with the story yet. All right, go ahead.
I like the way Brenna just told me. She goes, okay, I'm taking you through this step by step, but I want you to know that I'm not just doing it with you. I'm doing this with everyone. So
she's trying to make you feel good as a senior citizen.
I went through step by step as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think you're unique, Jim. Don't feel bad.
No, I don't. We'll see how it goes tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see. We got the test at 11. Why is it so far in advance of our show? Because they're thinking it's going to take 4 hours.
Well, they want to give us opportunity if it doesn't work to drive in here. Oh, okay. So, yeah, you don't want to test it at 2.
I might get to that point and just drive in.
Jim and I will be at home. Dave will be here.
DJ and I will be here. So,
yeah, I'll keep these guys company.
You know.
There you go.
All right.
We'll make it work somehow, no matter what.
It's going to come together.
The show must go on.
It will go on. They do.
The show must go on.
We are an escape for people out there.
People need us.
Very important.
Jim doesn't agree, but I don't get what you're cracking up at.
I don't know. I just laugh randomly sometimes. And I'm just like, Dave over there, the show must go on. All right.
Don't underestimate the power that you have over people's having happiness right now, Jim.
I know, but if the show doesn't go on tomorrow, you think the world's going to end or something?
Jim, are you trying to get us
sincerity when I say that? What the problem is?
Are you trying to get us out of work here?
If Bob had said that, I'd been like, yeah, you're right there, but Dave?
You don't take Dave seriously.
I'm not pulling it off.
There is more of a motivational personal trainer vibe to you with these sweatbands on right now.
All right.
It's a look.
Jim, you get your ass in front of that microphone.
And you entertain.
I command you.
All right. I'll be there tomorrow.
That's from the Howard Stern movie.
Oh, yeah. Private Parts.
Remember his dad says.
Yeah. I hereby
order
you.
By the power vested in me, from the Federal Communications.
The guy just sort of goes, you're on with
I order you to broadcast. Can't remember how.
Very good.
That'll be us. That'll be us tomorrow.
Who's more likely to have a beer next to him at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Dave?
You.
What? No, Dave.
Why Dave?
I don't know. I don't want to vote for me.
Okay. Well, it's obviously going to be
one because
of you
I drank
two.
Those four I think, beers I think during it's a, that 15-minute segment.
It's a pick 'em on that one, I think.
We'll see how Dave sounds by the end of the show. We'll know who had the beer next to him. Here's another thing, guys. What do you think of this?
What I really think.
Let me bounce this idea off you. Did we learn anything else?
No, we're getting into dangerous territory of our learning.
All right. That does it for us today. I want to thank our guests, John Clayton, Joe Fan, and Ray Fittipaldo, right? Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette out there in Pittsburgh. If you missed any of today's show, you missed a lot. So head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, then just click on our picture. Everything you missed each and every day is waiting for you right there. We're going to be back with you tomorrow in one form or another with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You and your mom are hillbillies. This is a house of learned doctors. You're not a doctor. You're a big, fat, curly-headed f***er.